13. Tariana. Tell him about the marked. The truth sat on the tip of her tongue, begging to be voiced. Because this wasn't a secret she could keep. Not with the cell growing closer to the Erinoquians by the day, and merchant traffic from other kingdoms destined to begin arriving in Aracom's harbor. And if he found out she had lied about it, especially after this conversation, she didn't think he'd forgive her. And yet, the thought of giving up that secret made her sick. Yes, he'd kept Hegiria's healer's mark a secret, but she thought much of that was due to the guilt he felt over the healer Caradoc dying to save his life. And while the healers were something he could use, they were no danger to him, unlike many of the other marks. What would he do if he learned that bait was capable of turning the tides with such violence as to send the ocean a mile inland, leaving only destruction in its wake? Or of the summoners who could unleash storms upon them like a weapon? Or, perhaps worst of all, what would he do if he learned about Tremen's marked? Warriors with unparalleled skill, many of whom had armies under their command. Would he let them live? Or would he see them as the threat they were and send assassins to hunt them down? They weren't just names, but people she knew, especially Killian, whom she'd been close with since they were children. She felt Marcus's eyes on her, knew he was waiting for an answer. Make a choice. Gritting her teeth, she straightened, meeting his gaze. I need to tell you something about Ashok. Marcus's eyes narrowed.
What about him?
He's not precisely human. Silence. We call them the corrupted, she continued. They're very dangerous, but thankfully also very rare, partially because every nation of the West hunts them down.
Dangerous how?
His voice was cold.
I've men hunting him, and if I've put them in harm's way.
Unnaturally strong and fast, she said. And if he gets his hands on a person, he can drain the life right out of them, killing them by aging them. He stared at her, unblinking, then said,
If this creature is as much an enemy to you as he is to me, why keep him a secret? What more are you hiding?
Her mind raced, desperately seeking a way through this, but there was none.
I'm going to ask you one more time. What are you not telling me?
His voice was shaking, and fear reared in her mind that she was going to set off one of his attacks.
If you aren't willing to answer, you can pack your things, because I'm sending you back to the Quincents. I don't need another backstabber in my camp.
Her heart dropped, not only because she'd lose any power she had to stop the Empire if she were sent to that island, but because she'd lose him.
Well?
He rose in a rapid motion.
Get your things. I'll order an escort to port.
He started toward the front of the tent. Wait! He turned around, and she scrubbed the tears from her face. Every one of the gods grants certain powers to chosen individuals. We call them the Marked. The healers are Hegiria's. Ashok. He's one of the seventh gods chosen. He listened as she explained the various marks, sitting in stony silence once she'd finished. Finally, he said,
I want to be furious at you for keeping this from me, for lying to me. Except I know why you did it, and I have no ground to stand on in judging you for it.
There wasn't forgiveness in his voice, only resignation.
But how can I trust you knowing that you've been lying to my face, not just before, but after?
He broke off, pressing his hands to the sides of his head as though it pained him. Then he met her gaze.
How do I know what you say you feel for me isn't just another lie? a way to manipulate me into achieving your ends.
Her chest hollowed. Marcus, it's not. I swear to you, what's between us is real. She reached for him, but he took a rapid step backward, holding up a hand as though to ward her off. You know me, she whispered, her voice choked. You know I wouldn't lie about something like that.
Do I know you? He asked, because it doesn't feel like I do.
Marcus.
I need some air.
He turned toward the entrance of the tent.
Don't expect me back tonight.
For what felt an eternity, she stood staring at the entrance to the tent, her guts in knots and head spinning with emotion. And then she moved. Heading out into the rain, Tariana stepped through the guards who formed a perimeter around the tent, striding toward the camp gates. Servius was there, talking to another legionnaire, but just before she reached them, he exited the camp. The other man turned, and her stomach fell when she recognized Felix. I'm going for a walk, she said to him. Let me through.
No.
He crossed his arms.
You will not leave the confines of this camp. Is that understood?
You don't have any right to give me orders, Felix. Move.
No.
He closed the distance between them, leaning down.
This is a legion camp, Tariana, not a harbor alehouse. You don't just get to come and go as you please.
She ground her teeth. I only want to go down to the water. Though to do what, she didn't know. If she summoned Magnius, it would mean pulling him away from whatever he was doing with bait, for the Guardian's telepathy was limited by distance.
No, I'm not waking men for an escort so you can go for a midnight swim.
Then I'll go by myself.
No.
Everyone was watching them, waiting to see what she would do, what he would do. And despite feeling more a prisoner than she had in a long time, caution told her this was not the hill to die on. Fine. Turning on her heel, she headed along the interior of the wall, circling the camp. To sit in the command tent would mean stewing, so she walked and walked. The deluge of rain soaked her to the bone, the cool wind making her shiver, but she ignored her physical discomfort in favor of rehashing every choice she'd made since she'd shaken Marcus's hand and agreed to take him and the legions across the endless seas. Every single one of them felt like a mistake. Even trying to warn the nations of the West had blown up in her face, the Catamarcan queen having betrayed her confidence, probably to curry favor with the Cell in the hopes of averting an invasion. All that had accomplished was destroying what little trust Marcus had in her. And the note she'd sent the Gamdeshians had yielded better results only in that it had yielded nothing at all. Feeling the press of her bladder, she veered away from the wall, heading toward the little privy shack allocated for her privacy. The deluge of rain had extinguished the torches. The only light from the singular storm lantern that hung from a post, probably to keep anyone from accidentally falling into the ditch full of water and waste. Peering into the darkness, she reached for the privy door. Then, a gust of wind hit her in the back, and what felt like feathers brushed her arms. A second later, a hand clamped over her mouth, pushing her inside the privy.
Easy, Tariana.
A female voice whispered in Gamdeshian.
Kyra sent me.
Kyra. The name of the princess made her heart leap, because Kyra was not only the Sultan's daughter and commander of the mighty army of Gamdesh, she was marked by Tremen. Tariana nodded, ceasing to struggle, and the woman let go of her. In the darkness, it was impossible to see her face, but as Tariana turned, her hand grazed a bare thigh. The nudity, the brush of feathers, and the arrival from the sky told her all that she needed to know. This woman was marked by Lern.
"You're a difficult girl to get alone," the woman said. "These Empire soldiers have watchful eyes. They often look up."
What all had she seen from above? The thought made Tariana's stomach twist.
"I wasn't expecting anyone to try to reach me." "You sent word that you needed help and to warn us."
"For what good it did?"
Tariana shook her head. "Although, at least Kyra didn't betray me like Queen Erdene." The shifter huffed out a breath.
"Gamdesh is not Catamarca. And your words did more good than you know. Though your people knew the threat the Empire posed, not a one whispered so much as a word until Kyra approached them with a scrap of paper with your name on it. And since then, the other Triumvirs have revealed all that they know of the Empire, its armies, and the young man they sent in search of conquest. Thanks to you, Gamdesh knows the magnitude of this threat, and we will act accordingly."
Fear prickled down Tariana's spine. "Will you attack?" For as good as the legions were, the Gamdeshian army was equally so, and they had the numbers.
"Perhaps," the woman answered. "I left Rivaat some weeks ago, but as I took to the wind, our fleet was sailing north to aid in the evacuation of Mudaer. On its return, we may turn our eyes to Erenokwia."
"What's happened in Mudaer?"
"Armies from Darren, marching under the Corruptor's banner, invaded Mudamora, and its capital was under siege. How they have fared since, I have not heard."
Horror filled Tariana, along with the vision Magnius had given her before the crossing of the 12 banners being driven into the mud by the boots of soldiers carrying the flaming circle of the 7th god.
"The 6 have mercy, but it had already come to pass." "We've no time to discuss Mudamora's plight," the shifter said. "Know only that we heard your call, and we are watching, and we will not abandon you, Tariana of the Quincents."
"But what should I do?" she demanded, not wanting the woman to go, not wanting to lose this connection with the world, though it filled her with equal parts hope and terror.
"Watch, learn, and trust you'll know when the moment to make your move is right. For the best way to win a war is to know your enemy."
"But
you must go. If you linger, they'll notice."
"What's your name?" she asked, desperate for a few moments more with her, for this contact.
"Astara."
And opening the door, the woman pushed her outside. Trying to act normally, Tariana walked toward the camp. But a second later, she heard the rustle of wings, and a glance upward revealed the shadow of an enormous hawk disappearing into the night sky.